the way, folks, I will be attending. He's invited me so many times, and I've done it remotely. But I gotta meet him. You know, I've only met him a few times in person. I gotta go to the mountain and see J. Edward Griffin, because the older I get, the more nostalgic I get, and the more appreciative I get of people that have just put it all on the line. And we stand on J. Edward Griffin's shoulders. It's just amazing. I mean, he's right up there with Ron Paul, a true living legend. And this is a short segment. Some stations join us at 6 after. So we just got a few minutes here, and we'll come back with the final segment. But G. Edward, finishing up with collectivism, which is the parasitic enslavement cult, calling it collectivism, but I agree that's how you boil down, versus individualism. You've been spending some time on how you recognize collectivism, but it's all around us. It's the ether in which we swim, versus individualism. How does someone recognize individualism?
Well, the individualism is exactly the opposite of all of these principles that I was telling you about, that I listed, that I found in the literature of the fascists, the Nazis, and the communists, and other forms of collectivism. So it's individualism is the exact opposite. So let's take the first principle I already mentioned, which is that the collectivists believe that the group is more important than the individual. The individualists believe that the individual is the center of society, and that the greater good for the greater number actually arrives when you put the individual ahead of everything else, because it's the collective accumulation of the rights of the individual that really make up the rights of the group with the abstraction. So if you protect the rights of the individual in a society, which was pretty much done in early America, that is the best solution for the greater good for the greater number, even though it's not perfect. It's not as imperfect as
it always produces the maximum freedom, liberty, and success, but it's not good for elites.
Not good for elites. No, they become very nervous about that. So that it's a simple thing. And one more example, maybe we'll make it even more clear. One of the principles is that the collectivist believes that he gets his rights from the state, that when men sit down and write a constitution or a law, that they are giving him a right that he didn't already have. They think that the state is the giver of rights. And individualists believe, no. This individual is the giver of rights to the state. That's the basis of we believe that the governments, just governments anyway, derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. Everybody believes that.
And you're quoting the Declaration of Independence now. That's what this is all about.
Yes, it's everywhere. But people don't understand it. They don't think about it. You cannot have it any other way. If the state has to get its rights to do whatever it does from the people, if in a just society, if you want to live under tyranny, that's okay.
That's our whole system said, no longer do our rights come from the king. They come from God that is above the king, thus to us.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's another principle. Now, think about what that means. If the state gets its power from the people, that means that the state is going to be authorized to do only those things which the people themselves have the power to do. Because if they are not, as individuals, allowed to do something, they can't delegate something they don't have to the state. That means, what is the state? I mean, what is the individual allowed to use coercion for? The state, by the way, should be defined as the legalized use of force. It's the legalized use of killing somebody. We give the cops and the soldiers guns and say, go, we're going to kill people. This is a severe, serious topic. We better be sure what the limitations are that we're giving to the government to use those guns.
And, of course, COVID was about reversing that, but it backfired. I want to come back and talk to you about that and suppressed medical treatments and more. And out of all your books and material, what do you think is the most important for newbies to read? RedPillExpo.org. Tickets are selling fast. I'm going to see you there. RedPillUniversity.org to learn about liberty and freedom, collectivism versus individualism. J. Edward Griffin is our guest. Back in 60 seconds. Share the live feeds now at Real Talk Shows on X and follow us there.
Thanks for having having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine clause is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones. And on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Griffin. Jason Burmes joins me with massive breaking news and more. The War Room with Harrison Smith coming up in about 53 minutes, 3 to 6 p.m. Central. And as we rebuild the network, the Alex Jones Network, bringing on more hosts, more reporters, all of it, just remember, it is your support at thealexjonesstore.com with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel that makes it all possible. This is individualism. We're not there with the government with a gun to your head saying give money, so they give it to USA to have drag queen story time and transgender surgeries. No, and to put fluoride on your water. No, this is about your individual right, your freedom to promote this show, to support the broadcast, and to say, hey, I want to individually be part of that. And then together we form a coalition of individuals promoting ideals that are pro-human, and that's what this is all about. And we've changed the world. I mean, I've been on the air 32 years. The hand of God's been this whole operation. And I can count on one hand the people that have had the biggest effect in the last 50, 60 years in the fight against tyranny. And it's not about the credit. It's just about recognizing what is the most truthful, most effective information. What does the enemy hate? And out of those five people on one hand, Sierra Griffin, Alex Jones, two of them here together today. And we're looking for the next generations of that. I know that's what Red Pill University is all about. And it's so exciting to see what's happening. But so many people that are riveting hosts, talk show hosts, and filmmakers and authors, they're doing a great job, but they're mainly only talking about the problems. And I do that, too. And it was Jerry Griffin decades ago, you know, on the show saying, Alex, you've got to focus more on the solutions. And I'm just like, well, it's evident. Don't do what they're doing. And, yeah, you know, freedom and free market. Okay, but you got to explain that to people because the enemy camouflages it so well. But let me throw a few other issues and topics at you at the time we have. What do you make of the Epstein fiasco and everything that Ted Gunderson and all those guys were saying 30 years ago? 40 years ago, all being vindicated and reading the emails where they're eating kids and selling organs and just, I mean, I knew they were into that stuff. And it came out in WikiLeaks, 7-year-old girl being delivered for John Podesta's, you know, entertainment alone at the pool at the secluded, you know, cabin in upstate New York. I mean, it's all there, but it's one thing to have a lot of cases and have it from experts, but to see it all, I mean, a lot of it come out. And then nothing happens. Like you said, it's just very paradoxical, but I don't see how the system holds up under this because a lot of people aren't public figures like you or I, so they don't get the ability when I go to the grocery store or church or the gym or walking down the street, I'm more mob than ever. Black, white, old, young, male, female, you name it. It's not about, oh, I'm famous and great. I'm just a bellwether or a gauge. I'm telling you, G. Edward Griffin, the world is on fire for truth right now. But because we're liberty-based and we are individuals, that's our strength and our weakness, no one knows then what do we do next. I always ask, what do we do? What's the plan? And I know you've talked a lot about that with Red Pill University. So just in general, how would you describe the period of history we're in right now? What are the bad future scenarios versus good future scenarios? And how do you think people can do the quickest, if they're new listeners or viewers, because things are exploding, how do they get red-pilled the quickest? What's the best avenue to go down?
Good question. That is the question, actually. Yeah, that's how we actually started this interview. Is it, am I optimistic or pessimistic and so forth? And I said, I am neither. I'm trying to be realistic. And my realistic opinion is that we're living in a period of great opportunity because it's so crummy. The wheels are coming off of the system. It's been a very comfortable system up until now. And as long as it's comfortable, most people are not unwilling to get serious about changing it. And so it's hard to say the good side of this is, you might say, because of the bad side of it. Now we're realizing how serious it is. And when the food starts disappearing again, or when major crises occur, like our friend with the, what was his name? Klaus Schwab. We don't hear much of him anymore. But he used to talk about, we will have a multi-crisis, you know, and that's what they want. When we have multi-crisis, people will be so upset and distracted, they won't know what the heck to do, and they'll be very helpless, and they'll just feel like it's beyond them as individuals to do anything, which is basically true. But the question then is, well, how do you stop being an individual? In addition to being an individual, how do
you? But we know the trap is at the point they create the crisis, the virus, the power outage, the cyber attack. Yeah. We're supposed to give our control to them and think it's going to get better. It only gets worse. You can be in a crisis. Mm-hmm. We know this. Giving up your freedom at that crisis will only make it worse.
That's it, exactly. But people don't see it. All they see is the fear part. Oh my God, I'm running out of food. The water is not coming out of the pipe. The gas station is closed, you know, all these things. Well, my credit card doesn't work. In fact, the electricity doesn't work. This is what they want. They say, we're going to fix these problems. No, their object is to make those problems so that the average person and beyond will have no recourse except to call for help from the state. They'll give us an annual salary, annual income. Oh, that's wonderful. Now we got money. At least now we got the money. And now they're completely wrapped up by the state. They dare not say anything against the state or they lose their money. You see, that's where it's coming to. And people don't see it. Anyway, now back to the question now. What's the good part of that? I think the fact that the wheels are coming off of the wagon now, is causing a lot of people to look very carefully at this question. Well, what can we do? Now, unfortunately, most people are still thinking in terms of how can we survive. As you mentioned earlier, I've given a lot of public presentations since 1960. I've had thousands of them, and usually there are some good questions that follow these presentations. And Alex, I can tell you that not once in all that time has anyone asked me a question that I was hoping to hear. They always ask me a question, so what can I do to protect myself? I mean, should I buy gold and silver? Should I get out of debt? Should I move into the hills? Should I go to another country?
They always think about, which is good, but the trick is, they think as an individual, how do they protect themselves? We are individualists, but it's going to be in mass us making political movements together that actually gets it out of it. They think of defense instead of offense.
Exactly. That's it. What can I do to protect myself? I've never had one person ask me, Mr. Griffin, what's your plan for victory? How can we win this war? No one is thinking about winning. And it was Napoleon who said the purely defensive is doomed to defeat. So that's where we are, folks. We're all thinking about how do we defend ourselves? How many people are thinking, how can we attack? How can we get behind George Washington when he crossed the Delaware on Christmas Day and the Hessians weren't expecting him. He changed the American Revolutionary War with one bold attack.
So what is our Trenton moment?
Well, I don't know. We have to, first of all, we have to have a leader. Where's our leader? Where is our leader? Is it Mr. Trump, who's done everything against the principles of individualism versus collectivism?
And let me ask you that question. Do you think he knows he's a Trojan horse, or has he been manipulated?
Well, you asked me what I think. I think the odds are almost overwhelming that he knows. I fear that the poor man, for whatever reason, has allowed himself to be compromised long, long, long ago when he was hanging out with all those guys. You know, he was hanging out with Epstein like buddies. And I think he was compromised from that day forward, if not earlier. And then you look at his history. Anyway, I don't want to get into an anti-Trump thing. It's because
it's important that people think Trump's coming to save him. And maybe he was a speed hump, you know, to the left. But I see he's a globalist more, thought the left was going too fast. So Trump comes in to control the dialectic. I think that's clear now. And then Trump's made a deal, whether it was in the past or now, with the establishment to try to use like an Israeli model of management to give himself a rear guard action when he gets out. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that's what's happened.
Well, yeah, I don't know all the ins and outs, but I feel that it's just logical that he is not his own man. He's got too many handles on him. And that's the reason he's there. That is the reason he's there. The elite, as you call them, really want somebody that is controllable. And regardless of what he thinks, I think Trump has some good instincts, because every once in a while he'll say something that's really right on target. And then we find out that 5 days later he's rescinding it. He's changing his mind. I think he was called in and spanked and told, no, that's, you said the wrong thing. And anyway, I'm not an anti-Trump person. I like a lot of the things that he's doing, but I also know the strategy of our enemy. The enemy is very good about putting forth controlled opposition leaders for our side. And they know, and they've written about it and held seminars on these things of how to do that. And one of the first lessons is that you've got to allow your controlled opposition man to do things against your side in order to appear credible. And if you don't do anything, you don't get the support of the people that are so hungry for a leader. So you let somebody come forth and actually do some damage against you. And that makes it look real. But there are little things that can be corrected, you know. The big things never get altered in any way. So anyway, that's the strategy off on that. Back to the main question you ask is so good, which is, where is the goodness in this? Where's the happiness in this? Where's the why would I be optimistic or even realistic and have some comfort in it? I think it's because things are getting worse and will continue to do so. Opens up the minds of people who otherwise would rather watch Dancing with the Stars. And once you get that crack in the public attention, I think it could move very quickly toward a mass movement, a tipping point, where a new leadership could arise if, and this is the big if we understood that we have to break free from the old patterns of accepting leadership from the mainstream media or from all these so-called co-opted or rather opposition leaders. Not everybody that comes out and says, I believe in the Constitution, or I believe in this and all the things that we believe in. That's the hook to get us in. But we have to look deeper than that. What has their past been? What have they done in their previous lives? Who do they hang out with? You know, this is important stuff. We're giving these people guns to shoot us, hoping that they're going to be on our side. We're giving them atomic bombs to blow up the world, hoping they'll be on the side of truth and justice. We better be careful about who we're giving them to.
And let me give people a microcosm. I've studied UK politics very closely because the same globalists are running it. They bring in Nigel Farage. He acts like he's good. He puts in Boris Johnson, sabotages it all. Now he admits he's basically a globalist. And that's reform. But then you've got Restore, that's always being shut down, always being blocked, has always been true, and is the real deal. But it doesn't matter. They still forced UKIP to act good. It had some good people in it. And that slowed down the globalists because they had to at least act like they're with us. So you don't give up. Yeah. It's just an ongoing process in this ongoing struggle And I see UK politics as a microcosm of here.
Yeah, absolutely. And this has been going on for a long time. The public has to believe that there is a honest struggle, a contest going on. And they have to be shown victory and defeat, victory and defeat. It's back and forth. Oh, we're winning. Oh, now we're losing. Oh, we're winning again. When in truth, both sides are in the hands of the elite, both sides. And it's all a show. Not all, but I mean, the major part of it is a show. And the average person can't get their head around that.
Well, how they know is who's real is who's being destroyed. Because I agreed to have these meetings off record, and they weren't criminals. So if I have the meetings, they're off record. But I've had the globalist Bilderberg Group members were at the time, British guy in the world, were up before they all sued me, you know, starting 8 years ago, you know, say, hey, come have a meeting while you're here. And, you know, they hey, we're going to get destroyed if you don't do this. We want you to be the loyal opposition, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, I'm not doing it. They said, well, watch what happened. And then now you see what we've been through and our longtime track record promoting the fundamentals of freedom, just like you've done. It's just that simple. And people can have faith in themselves and God that created them. They can run for office. They can be on school board. They can educate people. And it's going to be that long-term process. This is a long war. This isn't instant gratification. Closing comments, Jeffrey Griffin. And then I'm going to come to your expo, and I'm going to be there and speak. I'm looking forward to it. I ask is I'm going to interview you when you're there, and I'm going to get you back on, again, maybe for commercial-free podcast before then, to really drill into the central banking, the Federal Reserve, the central bank digital currencies, this new system they're trying to bring in. But in closing, comments, G. Edward Griffin, and I know you have the website, redpillUniversity.org. Where's the best place to find all your books?
Well, our bookstore is called RealityZone.com. RealityZone.com. But all the information about the expo and the university, good place to start there is with redpillexpo.org. Redpillexpo.org. That's the way you get in. And if you want to get on our mailing list, which I hope you do, you can always jump off if you don't like it. But I think if you're looking at Alex Jones and Ed Griffin and you're still on the line, you want to hear what we have to say. So that would be it. Realityzone.com for the bookstore. And redpillexpo.org for the Red Pill.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold and go back to the main show here after you leave us. But talk to the guys. Let me know who – I've talked to them 4 years ago, but whoever the manager of Red Pill is. And then let's get you back on before the expo, and I'll see you at the expo. 60-second closing comment.
Okay, very good.
Closing 60-second closing comment, G. Edward.
Oh, closing comments. All right. We've talked about what do you do about it. If you want to know what to do about it, you have to realize that a lot of people, 15% of the population is a lot of people. If they get together and have a strategy, not just an ideology, but a methodology for recapturing political and social influence in their own country, it can be done. I can tell you, I've participated in small groups. It works beautifully. And I can tell you, I stole every bit of it from our opposition. Those people are brilliant in how to influence and develop support. And they don't do it by sending emails to each other. They do it by putting people together face to face and forming local groups all around the country, all around the world, you might say. We can do it if we have a strategy. That's why Red Pill University is such an important thing, because that's exactly what it's designed to do.
Beautiful. Talk to you soon, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Thank you.
Powerful. What a living piece of iconic history with us. Truly 94 years old, just blown away by the prolific, accurate work of that man. Now, Jason Burmes, who's been prolific since I've known him 24 years, filmmaker, you name it, is about to take over with a hard-hitting news for the balance of this hour. The War Room, Harrison Smith coming up. Just briefly, I can't do this without you. We're maxed out just to fund the operation at the level we're at. We need your support to expand. We're not collectivists. It's your individual choice to go to the alexjonesstore.com. Tonight, the big sale ends, 40% off. The lowest sale is 40% off. The best, 50% off. Methylene Blue, Shilajit, Irish Sea Moss, Bovine Colostrum, all the Patriot apparel. It's the last day to get in 100X entries into the two, because one's ending tonight on the custom H1 Hummer, the sweepstakes, and the 2026 Dodge Challenger started. So you get put in to win both those $3,000 cash and 100X entries. That is tonight at midnight Central Time. So we're only talking about, nine and a half hours from now. So take action at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you so much. Jason Burmes takes over now. He always knocks out of the park. Jason, tell us what you got on the front burner. All right, bringing Jason Burmes in right now to the live feed. Jason Burmes, tell us what you got today.
Well, I'm going to, or was going to, lead with DARPA creating synthetic blood in the move towards transhumanism, and be talking NASA, artificial intelligence, and robotics. But what I wanted to lead with, since you just had the legendary G. Edward Griffin on, was a part of the inauguration speech of Mamdani. For those that missed it, right here, he exposes himself as everything that G. Edward Griffin was just talking about, literally telling you they are moving away from the cold embrace of rugged individualism, something that I have strived to become after learning about the collectivist agenda, to the warmth of collectivism. And he uses many of the semantic tricks that G. Edward Griffin just talked about. So, Alex, let's play this clip. It's just about a minute long, so we've definitely got the time. Here is the new mayor of New York City telling you he's a collectivist.
Exception. Few of these 8.5 million will fit into neat and easy boxes. Some will be voters from Hillside Avenue or Fordham Road who supported President Trump a year before they voted for me. Tired of being failed by their party's establishment, the majority will not use the language that we often expect from those who wield influence. I welcome the change. For too long, those fluent in the good grammar of civility have deployed decorum to mask agendas of cruelty. Many of these people have been betrayed by the established order, but in our administration, their needs will be met. Their hopes and dreams and interests will be reflected transparently in government. They will shape our future. And if for too long these communities have existed as distinct from one another, we will draw this city closer together. We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism. If our...
And there are the cheers. Yay! The warmth of collectivism. Now, folks, notice how he uses some truth right there, talking about how the order that is in place right now has failed most of us, which it has. But if you think you're going to move into a more authoritarian system, collectivism, whether that be, as G. Edward Griffin told you, traditional communism or old school Nazism, you are out of your mind. Even what we have right now in this country is no longer the checks and balances intended government for and by the people that we were supposed to have under our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And that is what the big, big problem is to overcome. We have to find a way to push accountability, to push checks and balances, to get rid of this executive within an executive that seems to be making the vast majority of the important decisions that are not liable or criminally accountable. We're going to come back. We got about 30 seconds till the break. I want you to go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Support this broadcast. Support people like G. Edward Griffin, a living legend, 94 years young. He's actually a staple in the InfoWars produced film, which you can watch for free, by the way, from 16 years ago, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. You want to talk about the roundtable groups put into place to put this agenda forward? That is the film for you. Go get the supplements. Go get the t-shirts. Support the info war. We're going to be back with more transhumanist news after this.
Plug for about 90 seconds at the end of the first hour. Didn't plug any last hour. And I'd raise that point. I'd say, aren't I good? I didn't plug. It's bad I didn't plug, but I want to interrupt that guest. That's how we fund this operation. If I just plugged twice an hour, we've done the math, we'd have plenty of funds around this place. And I can then hire more crew, more stuff, but I don't do it, so we're almost in the red again. So be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny. And the products really work, because we want to sell you something that is going to be great, that's good for you, that blows you away, so you go, man, that Alex Jones was right again. Not just about what he covers and says, but the products. RT3 iodine is not instant gratification. takes about 2 weeks on average for it to kick in. It is the missing link. Most people are iodine deficient. The iodine that's in the environment, most of it's bound, meaning it's not atomic. It's not pure on the periodic table. It is bound to a whole bunch of other stuff, and you don't absorb it properly. This is atomic iodine. It does everything. Now, again, you die without oxygen in 4 minutes. Everybody knows this. 4 minutes without oxygen, the average person's dead. Some people quicker. Without water, you die in about 4 days. Out in the desert today, most people die in about 45 days without food. Now, why is that? Because the food has the vitamins and minerals in it. And I know I'm talking to you like you're 5 years old. I know most of you get this. For others that don't, iodine, you can look it up, is one of the essential elements that without iodine, you die. Now, in the 1920s, they noticed about a 15-20 point IQ reduction, particularly in the Midwest, and massive spikes nationwide of child deformities, birth defects. And they did a bunch of big government studies and found that people that lived on coastal cities and that ate a lot of fish had higher IQs and basically almost no deformities. And they went, oh, it's the iodine. So they started putting a cheap form that's bound, but you still get some of it, but sodium fluoride, I think someone, in the salts. When I was a kid, it still said Morton salts, iodine added. You know, a little girl with the umbrella, and it says when it rains, it pours. This is the super version of that. Just a few drops a day. It takes 2 weeks on average to kick in for the average person. And your skin, your stamina, your libido. I remember, like, gosh, time flies, like 18 years ago or something, I met Dr. Edward Grubb, really smart guy, total visionary. And he said, listen, you need to start taking atomic iodine. And he'd come out with the only one. And he said, you should sell this private label. And I said, okay. He said, you know, you got some of those sunspots on your face. And I was like 38 then or so. And I had bad skin, but I did have some sunspots, brown spots and stuff that weren't freckles. You know, I call them liver spots. And he said, all this other stuff will happen, your libido, everything. He goes, it's about 2 weeks for it to kick in. And right at about the 2 week mark of the average person, you'll kind of feel crappy for a day or two. It's not like you have a cold or the flu, but you feel kind of groggy and tired. That's when it shifts in the cells, the mitochondria. And then a lot of toxins will get pushed out. You might even break out or something. But he said, after that, you'll feel incredible. 2 weeks later, I go, man, I feel like crap today. I have no energy. Lasts about a day. And then when I woke up the next day after feeling sick the day before, it was like I'd been carrying, you know, one of my kids on my shoulders. I'd carry them until they were like 5 or 6. Sometimes it'd be exhausting, but you take them off your shoulders, it feels so good. That's what it felt like. You're insane if you don't get this, and it funds our operation. And I only sell stuff that works, but it's not instant gratification. 2 weeks. Now be careful with it. Talk to your physician before, because if you've got some different thyroid issues, it can cause problems. In most cases, it helps, but you talk to your physicians. This isn't a game. And so a small percentage of people that can do some weird stuff. So be careful. This isn't, I'm not selling placebo here. I only sell stuff that kick you like a mule in a good way. Be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Listening to an AJN Live frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
And we are live. I am Jason Burmis, sitting in for Alex Jones in the fourth hour. And one of the things that Alex has talked about over and over and over again is not only the track, trace, database, surveillance society that we live in, but that move to get your biology, your biometrics, and really change what has now been solidified in that society through the Internet of Things into the Internet of Bodies. And although a lot of this information has obviously been collected through your doctor, through people voluntarily taking the magic device and rubbing their fingerprint on it, or having it scan their face over and over and over again, they want you to further acquiesce and get as comfortable as possible with these things, often going into the world of quote-unquote trendies. Alex loves the trendies. Well, there's really nothing more trendy than Jared Leto, the actor and lead singer of 30 Seconds to Mars. Now, Lato himself is an ultra cult-like figure, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But right now, you can get BOGO tickets to see one of the worst bands in the world. I mean, absolutely horrible. Look, I hate picking on other people's music because people love to pick on the type of music that I listen to, but this is hardcore ultra trash. Just non-talent. The guy got a band because at the time he was a Holly weirdo star. But you want to see him? Hey, give up your biometrics. We'll give you BOGO tickets. Okay? And more you're seeing the movement not only away from cash, but even away from the magic device, because they want everything to be part of that Internet of Bodies scenario. And just quickly, I mean, there's lovely Leto right there. Looks like he could maybe go to Disneyland with the lovely lady Lindsey Graham. They'd have a great time in one of his roles. But this isn't a role, okay? These are the and notice they're all women. Okay? And hey, I get it. I guess it's not all dudes, but he's got the long hair. He's got the rock star glasses on. He's the guru, and he's legitimately running a cult. I don't know how else to describe this thing. I mean, it is over the top and in your face. And look, Leto is probably part of one of the biggest summer blockbusters out there, the Masters of the Universe. Again, Jones loves the I Have the Power. And hey, I watched He-Man. I want to see Skeletor get his ass kicked too. But the truth of the matter is, we got a bunch of Skeletors like Leto that are pushing this agenda. And that agenda is not only to surveil our biology, it is to change it. And to do so incrementally, not all in one swoop. And one of the next steps in that is going to be provided by the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency and its subsidiaries, as they are now announcing that they don't just want to use synthetic blood. Oh, no, 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 no. They want to get it passed through the FDA, just like they did their mRNA technology. That was all DARPA run, 110%. And they're telling you that this is part of DARPA's rapid program. Well, the mRNA program was the Adept and Protect program. Oh, did it protect anybody? Is that what it did? Or did it fundamentally change what it means to be human, and not in a positive way? But again, they're rolling these things out as if they are the best things since breakfast. One of the things people just don't get about DARPA in particular is that DARPA is really just an extension, if you will, of this scientific elite that Eisenhower warned about in his military-industrial complex speech. It often partners with NASA to produce entities such as Google. That is what Google is. Google does not exist without the partnership of NASA and DARPA, their seed funding through universities, which we're going to talk about, Stanford University in particular, and then funding through the Central Intelligence Agency. Different arms of the same octopus, okay? And while NASA is telling you that we're going to the moon and we're going to Mars, that's all Johnny nonsense, okay? That's all window dressing for black projects, the weaponization of space, AI data centers in low Earth orbit, different types of propulsion systems, the different types of craft that the public will see. In fact, right now, you know, something that's been around for an extremely long time. I mean, these things are around for 20, 30, sometimes 40 years before the public sees them, and this is the X-59, the latest in supersonic jets. This one somehow does not give off the sonic boom, okay? And to reiterate that space is extremely hard, at least what we see of it. I understand that there is a secret space program. And for me, the vast majority, if not all, of these craft that we have seen decade after decade after decade is human technology. We absolutely have other stuff. You know, the Tic Tac stuff, you know, the Morningstar one where you can clearly see an exhaust engine. All of that stuff looks human-made. Now, the ISS, which is human-made, and again, it's not just the United States. Russia had similar technology. Really, it's Russia's Sputnik, the first satellite to go up that DARPA was created out of. It was the Advanced Research Project Agency to try to combat that satellite technology, and it eventually becomes DARPA. Well, the ISS, again, human-based technology that now we're talking about being decades old, is continually failing. So earlier last week, they were talking about a couple of leaks. I mean, space is an extremely dangerous place, everybody. And if you didn't know, the ISS, while in orbit, is constantly falling and is constantly having to be repositioned as well. They're already talking about moving away from the ISS within the decade. That may be happening a lot quicker. They were talking about an evacuation alert order. These people were all staying in basically capsules that were away from the main station because of that leak. Well, now they said that everything's okay. But talk about failing technology. MAVEN, which is the one that was supposedly orbiting Mars. And look, I'm not saying that we haven't done these things, but I often believe that whatever we're putting out into the public arena is only part of the story. And sometimes the part of the story is clearly misdirection from what we are actually doing and what we have actually achieved. And the truth of the matter is that NASA has now partnered for well over a decade with Google, which it essentially created, in artificial intelligence in their own laboratory, not only for AI in space, but quantum computing and artificial intelligence here at home. And the big push with NASA is that transhuman technology. Okay, you talk about things like organoids, for instance. You know what an organoid is? That's taking traditional computing with traditional little chipsets, your little NVMe drive, and then taking biological stem cell material derived from human brains most of the time. Lovely. And then integrating them into an organoid. What else goes on at the ISS? Well, you have these hydrogel type devices. Now, if you don't know what a hydrogel is, it goes right on your skin like a little tattoo. And who needs a dick-a-dick-a-doo shot or an injection? We'll just do it through the hydrogels. And then another huge thing that they're promoting are humanoid robots, which we're going to get into in a moment. Now, NASA itself, being at the forefront of artificial intelligence, has actually named one of central artificial intelligence officers. Okay, and the CAIO program is so important because it's not really being discussed. Many people have discussed Trump and his executive order and his tech panel of oligarchs, and all of that is important. Don't get me wrong. You don't want those people having oversight of everything, but basically their faces, because we already have the government in oversight of all quote unquote privatized AI through that program. And they'll tell you that NASA is a private company and that it's not involved in classified projects. That's semantics. That's Johnny Nonsense. That's really all it's involved in. So NASA has now named their new CAIO. It's Kevin Murphy. He's a 17-year veteran of the agency. And as I said before, this agency is constantly promoting humanoid robots. Now, the headline of this is kind of an inside joke. Former NASA robotics chief: America is building the wrong kind of robot, and China knows it. That this is trying to prop up the idea that we're somehow in competition with China in AI and robotics, and especially humanoid robotics. This whole article is promoting humanoid robotics. I've said it before. I will say it again. if the robots were actually here to help us, everybody, they were actually able here to make our lives easier, they would not be making them to look and act like us. Full stop. There is no reason that you could not improve upon the build of whatever job you have going on in a factory, in a manufacturing plant, with something that is not human-looking. I mean, at all. In fact, you're putting in way more work to do the humanoid robot thing, not because it will be more efficient in your business. It's because they want to acclimate you into working with these things. And eventually, in their own words, from the NASA chief scientist of over 30 years, passed away, I believe, last October, Dennis Bushnell, merging with them. Merging to the point where they become us, or we become them, or quote unquote, you have human contaminated machines. This is insane. Totally and completely insane. So here you have this individual from NASA, once again, trying to tell us that we need to do more with humanoid robotics. But in a moment, I'm going to present to you that, you know, it's two sides of the same coin, that China, the United States, and NASA are working hand in hand on this AI automation robotics agenda. And I want to show you how cool they are over in China. This is actually just a really good metaphor for the whole situation of humanity. Here you have this demonstration in China we're going to show you. Okay. And we got a cool robot. Everybody's there. We're smiling. He's got his little wig on. He's humanoid. Look, he's going to do a little karate for you. Huh? Yeah, there's some karate moves. And whap! Right in the chest. Yeah, well, you're sitting there cheering on the robots. They're here to take you out. Just a little kicky to the chest. But don't worry, it's going to be really funny now that the humanoid robot has joined the team of Jackass. And Jackass is a can't miss. Like, that will be one of the biggest movies of the summer, of the year. And now they have integrated a humanoid robot for the lulz. Well, to continue on how NASA has really infiltrated all these different arenas, not just the private business of Google with artificial intelligence, quantum computing, but also academia. Now, as I said before, it was the Stanford National Library Initiative, where Google essentially gets their start with all the funding from DARPA, NASA, InQtel, etc. But they love passing their alum onto different academic arenas. And now a nationally recognized AI pioneer, former NASA engineer, is the named president of Spelman College. Expect a lot more of this. Okay? And as, you know, as this continues, expect a lot of censorship around those that criticize artificial intelligence, those that criticize data centers. Because those data centers are here to take your human resources. They're here to make your life harder and more expensive while they try to tell you in reverse everything is becoming more convenient. As your autonomy, your humanity is literally stripped from you. And Kyle Serafin, who does a lot of interviews here on InfoWars and has been pretty spot on accurate over the past couple of years, he's just doing a little YouTube live streaming, again, owned by Google. And really, remember, it's Alphabet, then it's Google, then it's YouTube. Google, the number one search engine in the world. YouTube, the number two search engine in the world. YouTube, the number one video platform in the world. It is a technopoly. And it's not only a technopoly in the sense of a business. Again, it is subsidized by the Defense Department. You just can go down the line on how connected Google is with not only the Defense Department, but the National Security Council in particular, the ties between its ex-CEO, Eric Schmidt, who is basically their cutout, like their guy, Serafin was just streaming. He wasn't talking COVID-1984. He wasn't talking hate and lie shots. No, 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 no. He was warning against the data centers. And now he's been flagged as praising, promoting, and aiding violent extremism or criminal organizations for his anti-technology violent extremism. Excuse me? Now, I'm a tech nerd. I am surrounded by technology. But I got to tell you, I want to keep my compute. I don't want all this cloud-based bull shenanigans. I want to have my RAM. I want to have my GPU. I want to have all those things. They're taking it away in real time. They're pricing it out of range for the average consumer in real time. This is the first time in modern history where a computer or a video game system or a component is now more money, the same exact thing, not the new model, not the upgrade, the same technology. It is more money than it was 3 to 4 years ago. You know, these little dick-a-dick-a-doos that I was showing you? Maybe 3, 4 years ago, I get these about, I don't know, 55, 60 a pop. They're 120, 140 a pop. These are like 1 terabyte storages. That's not even as bad as the RAM. The RAM's even more. This is a set of RAM that I bought for under $300 3 years ago. 64 gigabyte set, 32 and 32 DDR5. This retails for $740 plus tax now. That sound normal to you? That sound like they're going to give you entry? I got news for you. They're not. And to further reiterate how when you're looking at this, you have to go beyond the nation state. You have to go beyond the United States. You have to go to beyond Russia. You got to go beyond China. Well, take a look. China's GAN pioneer in InnoScience, founded by what? A NASA scientist, secures Google's AI hardware deal. Do you understand what that means? So you've got a person that worked for NASA with Google on artificial intelligence for probably well over a decade. Okay? Because they literally declared quantum supremacy all the way back in 2019. Now it's extremely hard to find anything about their joint work because they like to keep that under wraps. You know, they want the public to just think Moon and Mars, we're going to have bases and Elon Musk's a hero. Meanwhile, you look at rocket technology and Blue Origin is blowing up in front of our eyes. I mean, how many decades later, and that is a dangerous, unstable tech. Well, again, they're not worried about China producing these chips that they're going to use in all of this hardware that is going to be utilized by our Defense Department and by our general population. Why would they be? They're a team. They're a team. That's what this is. In fact, right now, SpaceX, very much a part of that team. And the Musker nuts had to make commentary a couple weeks ago because Fox News finally reported that Starlink was being utilized in the Ukraine-Russia war for the drones to hook into. Now, the vast majority of those drones are now hooking into the fiber optics, but we're talking right in the beginning of that. The Ghosts and the Sidewinders were all hooked into Starlink. I've been on the air. I've shown you the documentation of Starlink where it is clear that the Defense Department has a backdoor into all of it. That's what SpaceX is doing. It's launching not only Starlink, but now StarShield, which is the classified version. And before that, it was Blackjack. That was just the outward weaponized version. You know, and I was over at the bar having a drink with my buddy this afternoon, just a few days ago, and somebody was asking me about the SpaceX IPO and whether or not I thought that they should invest. And I go, listen, man, don't take investment advice from me. I could never buy into the stock market, especially because really where all the profiteering is, unfortunately, it is within the military industrial complex. It is within things like SpaceX. And you better believe that SpaceX and Google and NASA, they're all in it to win it together, okay? This SpaceX is a proxy. Look, NASA emerged as another SpaceX proxy after launching with a 10% direct exposure to SpaceX. And meanwhile, what do they got the public jazzed up for? They got the public jazzed up for a whole lot of Steven Spielberg. Now, look, I'm not going to lie. Spielberg is a super, super talented guy. I would say in recent years, maybe the stuff isn't as powerful, but I want to take people back before Disclosure Day comes out, okay, and just show kind of the shifting narratives when it comes to alien races and Steven Spielberg. You see, Spielberg, here's a collection of all the movies that he's directed. And believe me, he's produced a ton more. And by the way, the last one that I actually watched was the 2018 Ready Player One, which was a look into a dystopic transhumanist future where the vast majority of people live in total and complete poverty and filth, but can get into the virtual transhumanist arena and live out real world video games. Okay. And he tried to do so in a really positive manner. Was not a fan of that film, but let's take it back. You know, now over 20 years ago, they redid War of the Worlds. Okay. So again, aliens attacking. And I think that's where this next one is going. And that was a huge, huge, huge shift. By the way, the same guy behind Minority Report and what? Pre-programming, pre-crime. From what he was selling you with the benevolent alien in E.T. and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. The guy has also been out there really selling you on U.S.-based propaganda now for decade after decade. And the public is rife, rife to believe whatever they put out there. It is the final minute of the broadcast. I want to invite you guys to check me out over on YouTube while it lasts. Jason Bermas, B-E-R-M-A-S. You can also follow me on X as the same. I believe these are controlled platforms. I'm kicking and screaming to get to that audience. But if you want to see documentation, if you want to see all my documentary films for free, many produced right here at InfoWars, you can watch Loose Change, Final Cut, Fabled Enemies, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, and Shade the Motion Picture in the playlist section. Support this broadcast at alexjoneslive.com. Go to the Alex Jones store. Get the hats, get the shirts, get the supplements. And remember, folks, it is not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. I absolutely love you guys. I will see you on the flip side, and stay human.
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is what we're, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack, a massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Shilajit.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.